Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of In the Eyes of Truth. With United States again is Andrei Mamikin. He, for those who do not remember, is a former member of the European Parliament. Yes, that center of idiocy, fascism, Nazism, Satanism, homosexuality, whatever ism you want to throw in, madness. Yes, that's already on a madness, and all that other wonderful, fluffy garden, excuse me, not a vegetable patch, but the garden of humanity, which is in the cursed realm of Mordor, in other words, Brussels. Andrei, a survivor of all that, a survivor of the great democracies of the Baltics. How are you? How is life? And you are now in Belarus.
Yes. Hello, everyone. Greetings to your esteemed viewers and listeners. I had to flee the Baltics. That is a separate story, but I am not unique. I am not alone. Many people are fleeing the Baltics who share our spiritual and moral values, our pillars, without quotation marks and without the mockery the liberal crowd loves to do. And yes, since the Union State has finally started working and people from unfriendly countries, I still hold Latvian citizenship with a Russian Federation residency permit, can quite calmly cross the land border between Russia and Belarus. And actually, if there is no line, the procedure takes 5 minutes. I came to my friends, I arrived in Minsk, and I like it here very much. And well done to Belarusians for building the Union State with the Russians.
And how do you cross by port or by water borders?
I hope that someday Latvia as a state will disappear. It will not disappear because of the ill will of the Russians or the evil President Putin. It will disappear simply because it will disappear. This spawn of hell will go under the water. And then Belarusians will have a Belarusian Sea on the territory of Latvia next to the Baltic Sea. And then we will travel and call it the seaports of the Republic of Belarus.
Right. Wait, they already do. Do you not remember Saki threatened to bring the 6th American fleet to the border of Belarus and put pressure on them? Yes, I remember. She said a lot of things.
Wait, she said that oil flows by pipeline from Ventspils in Latvia back to Russia. Pipelines run from Europe back to Russia. That Russia imports European gas. She said a lot of things. She used to be my favorite White House press secretary, yes.
Yes, the next one. That black woman, the first lesbian in that position, a great achievement. Who she sleeps with or does not sleep with in bed. That was the most important accomplishment. At least Saki, you know, she was more interesting in that regard.
Yes, she is now a leading commentator and analyst on American television channels. In general, a great American political scientist.
Well, of course, of course. America is going from one victory to another. Actually, I learned yesterday, I do not know if you heard, Donald Trump wants to build an Arc de Triomphe. Yes. Well, countries normally build an Arc de Triomphe at the entrance to a city for triumphal parades. Do you know where Trump wants to build the Arc de Triomphe? Yeah, sure. Have you heard where he plans to build it?
No, I have not heard. Let's tell the viewers then.
Yes, that even amused me a bit about Trump. There is a military cemetery, Arlington, which is near Washington. It was precisely the former estate of General Lee, which was taken from him because he rebelled against the regime of Satan that was already seated in Washington, and sadly to say, on whose side we stood under Alexander II. We chose a very wrong side, and on his plantation he did not have slaves, because he had freed all his slaves long before the American Civil War, while generals of the North were slaveholders, like Grant. Interesting, but anyway, his property was turned into a cemetery for the military, but when you enter that cemetery, there is a large circle and a lawn there, and in that circle, he's planning to install some kind of Arc de Triomphe, a triumphal entrance to the cemetery. That old man is downright senile.
That is very dark humor. Because only people who are truly rushing to the cemetery would drive in triumphantly. We Russians, being Orthodox, understand that death comes when it is the will of God. It can happen now, or maybe, I do not know, many years from now for each person. We do not know. But making a triumphant entrance to a cemetery, that is the whole Trump thing. That is his whole clownish persona, since he is, after all, a former showman, but I think the old man has taken it too far. The old man has gone too far.
Yes, somehow, if I were still an American, I would be raising a lot of questions about this. Not to mention that he tore up one wing, the White House, I already call it the White Wagon, like those rail car parks after that Thunderdome stunt. If anyone saw Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, where they have an arena and two go in, one comes out, he set up the same thing on the White House grounds for his birthday. Well, they dug up one wing where he is now building some huge new hall with bunkers, super bunkers and all that. Everything is just dug up and looks like crap. The money ran out. They need many more billions to pour in, and it takes $1 billion to redo one wing. $1 billion. And that money has already run out. More money. It all just looks like absolute chaos, torn up. Something like the collapse of the Soviet Union. As we remember, when the Soviet Union collapsed, all projects were simply abandoned. Nobody had any idea what to do with them. That is America. A country that for the past 4 or 5 years has had multiple partial or full train derailments almost every day. Every day in this country, of course, is a...
American infrastructure is in a very sorry state. I have heard that many times from many experts. So bad that there are railways that are several decades old. There is a railway that has not been repaired for 60 years. And these people, like in that Vovochka joke, tell United States not to pick our noses. And they talk about Russia's backwardness or some kind of infrastructure deficiency. Excuse me, Russia is now building a high-speed line from Moscow to St. Petersburg. One section is already in test mode and will be launched very soon. This was announced by Mayor Sergei Sobyanin. The road. I was driving the Minsk Highway, which then becomes the Moscow Highway on Belarusian territory. You get on it and there is not a single pothole. Your glass of water does not wobble while you drive. I am not even mentioning that the next high-speed line, agreed by Vladimir Putin with Alexander Lukashenko, will run from Moscow to Minsk. So Russia is building roads and infrastructure regionally. There is a whole program of Siberian highways. I love driving and I follow it. And Russia is building and investing, as is the Republic of Belarus, in the Union State. In the Union State of two brotherly peoples, two historically connected territories, and now, also economically linked. Just imagine if in 3 hours, or even 2.5, you could get from Minsk to Moscow by train. That would be wonderful. And the United States of America, which? They say their environmental situation is fine. I watch footage online of, for example, a train derailing on these old tracks and tons of oil spilling out. Nature gets polluted, birds and animals die. Sometimes things catch fire and everything burns. This is Armageddon, the end of the world. All this happens in the United States, which lectures the whole world on how to live, and claims only they know the right way to live. They act like they alone know how to run the national economy, what democracy is, how to elect senators and congressmen. That we are the only superpower in the world. We hear that mantra from Trump, from Biden. It does not matter who the president is. They repeat it at every level. And here is a comparison. Russia, Belarus, and the United States of America, just looking at railway infrastructure. I do feel sorry for ordinary Americans, of course, but they have to wake up and realize they cannot keep living with that kind of neglect toward their own country. To lecture the whole world while treating the United States with indifference. That is wrong. It makes you want to remind Trump of his slogan, America First. So let America really be first for him.
You are wrong. You are wrong. In California, they are building a high-speed rail line. It was only supposed to cost $33 billion for the first phase. The first phase is about 600 to 650 kilometers long across California. Yeah, something went wrong. They started in 2008 and still have not finished. They have only prepared about 30 to 40 kilometers. And the price has grown from $33 billion to $150 billion. And they may need another $100 billion to finish the first phase. But they are working on it. 18 years?
Let United States wish them success. If they are working, good for them. Keep it up, guys. Just do not slow the pace.
At the same pace. At that rate, they might finish the first phase around 2090. And it could cost $5, $6, maybe $10 trillion. What difference does it make? The national debt in the United States is already well beyond $100 billion, actually much more. Trillions, trillions, $100 trillion, and of course, another $5 or $6 trillion on top, you know. And a Coca-Cola will cost you like $5,000.
Yes, yes. Well, it is a laugh through tears. It is sad, of course. But on the other hand, the United States of America chose this foreign policy and military path around the globe. That also explains their attitude toward their own infrastructure. So I was thinking, you said that Putin discussed with Trump in phone talks the idea of building a bridge or a railway across the Bering Strait, from Chukotka to Alaska, which would become another transport corridor to Russia and China. When do they expect to build that? I mean, in Russia, we can build fairly quickly. Railways in Russia are built and repaired fast, with modern Russian equipment, by the way. So what, the Americans will build up to the Bering Strait and then stop? Are they not going to build anything on the Alaska side then? Are we, Russia, supposed to build it for them? How do they plan to fulfill those agreements?
You know, I really do not even understand that. Not to mention the climactic conditions you would have to deal with. There are often Kamchatka-like conditions, heavy snowfalls. And the terrain is not flat. Cross into Alaska and it is essentially frozen steppe. Spring hardly ever arrives there. Building in those conditions, plus earthquakes, it is a zone of constant seismic activity. Earthquakes, volcanoes, all that. How do they even imagine doing that? Just imagine, if you had to travel 40 kilometers underwater, what could happen? This is not even the channel that runs from England to France. And there, at least geologically, things are relatively calm. But here it is a zone where Americans, who cannot build a normal railway, would have to lay an additional 500 to 600 kilometers of track.
Maybe they think the Russians will come and build in Alaska. If we come and build, we would have to take Alaska back. It is historically Russian land.
You know, I think trains will be flying, and some parts will be built on the American side. And the Americans are investing a lot of money in the Baltic states. So I am sure that in the Baltic states, life is just perfect in space age now. Cars are flying, people teleport from place to place, jobs are great, there are more resources than needed, and everyone is swimming in chocolate. Morning, they swim in chocolate. At night, in champagne. Right?
Of course, absolutely. Why? Because the Baltic states now, and my native Latvia, have become an utterly depopulated zone. People are leaving to work in Western Europe because unemployment is terrible. Or to the east, to the Republic of Belarus, or to Russia. I, for example, went to Russia only because otherwise, in Latvia, they would have put me in prison. For supporting Russia. For speaking out. A lot of politicians and journalists are sitting in the Brezhno Central prison. It is terribly bleak. I looked at last week's statistics. 37% of the adult population in Latvia is functionally illiterate, and the breakdown said people cannot read and understand the simplest text. That is all the smart, economically active people who once lived in the Baltic states and worked for the prosperity of that part of the Soviet Union. And it was the showcase of the Soviet Union. The Baltic states were called the Soviet West. They shot films there. If they needed a foreign setting, they would film in Riga or in Old Tallinn in Estonia. All of that is hopelessly in the past. And the Americans, if they invest anywhere, they invest only in strengthening military facilities. More precisely, they are building them on the border with Russia and on the border with the Republic of Belarus. They are building them with Latvia's money. The Latvian government, the Estonian government, take loans that cannot be repaid. And how are they going to pay them back?
How are they going to pay them back?
Yes, our external debt now is 22 billion, but that, as they say in Latvia, is just to keep life in euros. But to some people, that may seem like a small number. We were talking about trillions when it comes to America. But say Estonia is a small country. Fewer than 1 million people live there. Latvia, nominally 1.5 million, and in reality less than 1 million, because the rest are, well, working in Germany and in Ireland. But in Lithuania, excuse me, which had almost 4 million people at the moment of the Soviet Union's collapse, now there are 2 million. So these are very small countries, a small market, a small economy, and they can naturally survive only through economic cooperation with the Russian Federation, which in principle has been the case for these territories since the times of the Russian Empire. They severed all economic ties themselves. The three Baltic republics did it in unison. For example, they even stopped purchasing Russian grain. Although we do not produce it, Latvia cannot even meet its own food needs. They disconnected from the Belarus, Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania power grid. It was the unified energy system of the Soviet Union's Northwest. Its name was formed from the first letters of the countries: Belarus, Russia, Estonia, Latvia, Lithuania. And it was a safety net system because power transfers compensated for electricity shortages in any area. They refused to buy Russian petroleum products. They are now the first in the European Union urging the European Commission. Starting January 1, 1927, the European Commission and the European Union will stop buying Russian gas entirely. This is either collective madness or they are idiots, which is essentially the same thing. One does not exclude the other. Yes, you have to be a complete idiot to turn your back on such a stable supplier of cheap energy and such a huge market as the Russian Federation. They have the highest inflation in the entire Eurozone, in Lithuania, in Estonia, and in Latvia. They also have the highest unemployment. Just a few days ago in Daugavpils, the second largest city in Latvia, which, by the way, is 100% Russian-speaking, more than 300 people are being laid off. That number may seem small to some, but in Latvia, where at best 1 million people live, that is a lot, 300 families. Daugavpils has traditionally been a railway hub because rail transit from Russia has been virtually completely halted. Russia closed the crossings. It had kept them open for years since the start of the special military operation, but just the other day it shut them. So even some non-sanctioned consumer goods cannot reach the Baltic states by rail. There they got what they wanted. Yes, Rutschersov and Ilners, Daugavpils, is second sink of Mykin sanctioned consumer goods, cannot reach the Baltic states by rail.
Where exactly did Russia close the border with Estonia? On the Narva River or south of the Narva region?
No, it closed the border only to railway traffic. But Russia did this as a retaliatory measure because the Baltic states, by refusing transit from Russia and imposing restrictions on themselves, Russia, meanwhile, had kept those railway border crossings operating with border guards and customs officers. And some goods still moved. Timber and other items. But since the European Union's sanction packages were imposed one after another, bans on oil products, on gas, and so on, the trains were effectively empty. Russia waited all those years. Guys, maybe you will come to your senses, but please, let United States continue cooperating. And Mikhail Mishustin's government made the decision. Fine, if that is the case, we honestly waited 4 years, and those border crossing points are closed. The ones you mentioned, for example, Narva-Ivangorod in Estonia, Grebnevo, Terehovo in Latvia, those. The checkpoints operate, and on foot, of course, you can cross the border from the Baltic states into Russia and back. Well, for those who have the right to do so. Why do I make that qualification? Because citizens of Russia and of the Republic of Belarus are simply prohibited from entering Estonia and Latvia. I even know several cases where a Russian citizen had a death in the family and was traveling to a funeral. He had a valid visa from the Latvian embassy in Moscow, but was refused entry at the border on the grounds that he was a threat to Latvia's national security. That is the situation at the border. And the Baltic leaders, frankly, they are not purely local. If you look at the top officials of those countries, many hold dual citizenship, and some even have three passports. They are all temporary. If a direct military clash with the Russian Federation begins, they will be the first to flee. Literally at Riga Airport, the national carrier Air Baltic keeps two planes on standby to evacuate the government in case of an emergency. They just sit there, technically ready. Those planes do not fly anywhere, and you still have to pay for them while they sit idle. And of course, what awaits the Baltic states is that they will never again be as prosperous as they were in the times of the Soviet Union. It will never again be that Soviet West with the narrow streets of Riga, the smell of coffee, strolls along the old cobblestones. It will likely become a depopulated region, possibly, with destroyed infrastructure, because the Foreign Intelligence Service of Russia regularly issues press releases saying they know where and exactly at which point a military base is located. Many military bases are being built now. Again, the Americans are running things, and the Latvians are taking on yet another debt the country cannot repay. The future for the Baltic states looks utterly bleak.
Well, the people of the Baltic states, I understand, most of those who stayed are not particularly smart. If you want to get rid of debt, take on more loans from Western banks. Become part of Russia, and all those debts will be written off. Buy yourselves Mercedes, take loans from Deutsche Bank and everyone else. Then start a revolution, and you will be free of debt. Just like the Ukrainians, former Ukrainians who are Russian again, found out in Zaporizhia and Kherson that, oh, we do not owe anything anymore. Thanks. What a gift. The central bank and all the other banks of Kokland.
Yes, yes. I remember when Vladimir Vladimirovich had a direct line with the people of Crimea a few years ago, and a man stood up and asked, listen, I have a car on lease. How am I supposed to keep paying loans to a Ukrainian bank now? To pay it? And now maybe part of it is Russia. Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin said, go ahead and drive.
Yes, yes. I have a question. At most, there might be 1 million people in Estonia. 320,000 of them, over a third of the population, about 33%, are Russian. These are historically Russian people going back to the 8th and 9th centuries, historically Russian lands, and they do not have citizenship.
That is true. In Latvia, there are even more Russian speakers, around 40%. Estonia and Latvia are two countries in the world where there is a category called non-citizens, but in English passports, they are not even listed as non-citizens. They are written as aliens, like outsiders, like strangers. That is written in the passport. For example, a citizen's passport has a red cover. The Latvian non-citizen passport is purple. And the Estonian non-citizen passport has a gray cover, the gray passport, as they call it. And, of course, depriving these people, for example, in Latvia, at the moment of the Soviet Union's collapse, there were almost 900,000 non-citizens, 875,000 people. Now there are fewer than 200,000 of them. So people left and took Russian citizenship. Well, some naturalized as Latvian citizens, but there are not many. And some simply died. Yes, that is naturally population decline. But the fact that this category was introduced back then, a a third of a century ago, shows that these elites, the Americans, the Latvian emigres, the Estonian emigres who returned and later became presidents and prime ministers already in 1991, knew they had to cut off a large part of the Russian population from power and from the spoils, because of course they wanted to take everything for themselves, the industrial heritage in Latvia, for example, instead of sharing it. Well, of course, everyone wants to grab it all for themselves. And that category was invented. Naturally, the influence of Russians on the political process was severely hampered, despite the fact that to this day Russians make up slightly less than half of Latvia, roughly 40%. And of course, besides the economic motive, they wanted to spit in the face of these Russians who in fact fed and developed that land since time immemorial, since the Russian Empire, since the time of Peter the Great. They managed it. Yes, they spat in people's faces, and unfortunately, they are not going to change course. They will not roll back their citizenship policy. On the contrary, they are already openly saying that Russians are our enemies, both the local Russians in the Baltic states and Russians in Russia, citizens of the Russian Federation. They say war will start and they are ready for it, but the Baltic military power is, well, simply laughable. It is ridiculous. Yes, they are cunning. They can stage a provocation. There are constant exercises by the North Atlantic Treaty Organization in the three countries. For example, last year, out of 365 days, there were military exercises on 270 days. Large and small exercises, involving different contingents, sometimes only the Baltics, sometimes the Baltics and the Poles, Finland and so on, American and Canadian forces. But I do not know how long they will hold out militarily. You are a military man, more of an expert, but it is laughable to say even a tiny pest can be nasty. Through provocations, by spoiling things or staging pinpoint attacks, they will be able to act against Russia. In exercises, they constantly rehearse scenarios of strikes against Pskov region. They do not even hide it. They write about it in the newspapers. And the newspapers is...
Andre, listen, I agree with them. The Russian bastards, they are creatures who have no right to live with the white fluffy people of Estonia, and they must leave. Our land, of course, our ancestral land since the 8th and 9th centuries as well. I think we should free these decent people in Estonia from the filthy Russians and simply take back our land that the Soviet Union drew with those lines. We can also decommunize the borders and simply redraw a new border some 40, 50, 70 kilometers south of the current one. Why should they live with the nasty Russians? You will in the end be Estonians. You will be liberated. We will take back what is ours. Go away and do what you want afterwards and live peacefully without Russians.
Go back to Canada. That is also possible. If someone in Estonia heard you, you would, of course, be accused of stoking inter-ethnic conflict. Why not?
There are scoundrels here practicing apartheid. Absolute apartheid. Our people, 150 million Russians across the border, how do they live? Like people with no rights, like meat? They are treated like animals, like cattle? This is not even, you know, even apartheid in South Africa had a completely different character, because Africans were still citizens of South Africa. Yes, they did not have full rights, but they were citizens. Here they are not citizens. Here, as they said, they are aliens, outsiders. Fine. Let United States live without them. Let United States carve up this damn artificial state that never even existed. The Soviet Union created it. Let United States start with that and take back our land. We have been there since the 9th century. Damn, maybe even the 8th.
I absolutely agree. The Baltic region is originally Russian land. And the Orthodox faith arrived there before the German Crusaders and the Catholics. And there are artifacts of ancient Russian settlements there. And even in the old part of the city, there is a sort of village called the Russian Convent, the Russian Court. Russian merchants lived where the Daugava, the Western Dvina, flows into the Baltic Sea. Trade routes ran north to Scandinavia and south to the southern lands of what is now Russia, and onward to Byzantium, to Greece. Yes, this Russian land is soaked in blood, especially during Peter the Great's northern war with the Swedes. The Russian land.
The Livonian War under Ivan the Terrible.
Yes, but that was before that. And during the Great Patriotic War, there were heavy battles for Riga. But Riga, unlike, say, Kaliningrad, the old Königsberg, its historic part survived. An old Talon survived because the Soviet Air Force was very careful, bombing the areas where the fascist enemy units were located. And so this medieval Riga was preserved, like in Italy. But British aviation bombed Königsberg mercilessly, so we can no longer really see the old Königsberg, except for the cathedral, where Immanuel Kant's grave is. But this difference in approach, say, between the British and the Russian-Soviet soldier.
Not only the British, it was the Americans and the British. The Americans bombed by day, the British bombed at night, because the British were afraid to fly in daylight, and they burned whole cities. For some reason, everyone only remembers Dresden, and Dresden is just the last city. Across all those cities, 5 million people were burned alive by the Anglo-Saxons. And in Japan, in a single raid on Tokyo, they burned 500,000 people. That is more than Hiroshima or Nagasaki, more than the atomic bombs. So the crimes of the Western white and fluffy are crimes against humanity. And Churchill at the same time presided over a famine that starved 6 million Indians to death and left hundreds of millions suffering when he took all the rice and shipped it to England. It was going to end up in Japan anyway, so to hell with them, let them starve. He forgets those points. The concentration camps the British built across their colonies had the same Gestapo running things, only with an English accent, a gentlemanly Gestapo that also killed, cut people, and destroyed. For some reason, everyone has forgotten about that.
You remember the British struck some time ago a museum in Sevastopol that houses the panorama of the defense of Sevastopol and the Russo-Turkish wars. The British always try to run away from their shame. They want to hide any evidence of their shame or military defeats, even a painting in a museum. So they were the ones who aimed and struck the Ukrainians, fired the rockets, of course, but the British were directing them. That is no longer an open secret. That way they protect any records of their weaknesses, their atrocities, their military failures. They cannot do otherwise. And generally, if you look deeper, Europe has always been about colonialism. It meant the enslavement of millions in Africa. It meant the destruction of countries, peoples and whole cultures that lasted millennia. For example, the indigenous peoples. But they were practically destroyed by the British, who arrived after Columbus, by the French, partly by the Dutch, and later, those colonies declared independence from the British crown.
This was actually one of the main reasons. It was not about taxes. In America, they talked about taxes, about no taxation without representation. And the British Parliament said, in fact, you are now mature colonies, ready to send your representatives to Parliament. The tax was 10% on tea, which paid for the army stationed there. After the revolution, taxes on pretty much everything increased, from whiskey to corn, everything. That is another matter. And the real reason the American Revolution began was not those taxes. That is a myth. The main reason was that the King of England, that Mad George, signed a treaty with all the Indian nations, recognizing, first, they were nations, not clans, and second, that there would be no further advance. That was it. We will go no further. That is what it meant. That's all. There would be no expansion anywhere. And he ordered them. No expansion. But they said, no, boys, in England, this is all ours. The entire continent is ours. We will take it all. If anyone does not like it, we will simply wipe them out, and that is it. No questions. That is why the American Revolution started, first and foremost. They wanted everything, North Carolina, because they did not know where the continent ended. Its borders extended westward, all the way to the next sea. Just as an example, when the first boundaries were drawn for that state, they just kept going. Where they stopped, they would stop. Yes, later they created Tennessee and other states. Well, that is how it was. They said directly, all of this is ours. End of story.
Yes, a purely imperialist colonial policy. And despite formal independence, of course, the behavior and political conduct of Great Britain and the United States today is no different. And they became our allies in the Great Patriotic War out of necessity, because Churchill could just as well have become an ally of Hitler, and he was simply waiting to see who would strike first. Hitler attacked the Soviet Union. But if Joseph Stalin had launched a preemptive strike against the Third Reich after the partition of Poland in 1939, like Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin did when he launched the special military operation preemptively, and had begun helping the Russians of the Donbass and Novorossiya to free themselves from that Ukrainian fascism, Stalin would have been portrayed as the spawn of hell, and certainly all the British and Americans would have sided with Hitler and would have said, they are victims of unprovoked aggression, just as they now say about the special military operation. They have hated United States, the Russians, for centuries. They want to split United States. In part, they have succeeded. We talked at the start about Russians who live outside the modern Russian Federation, and that is still a lot of people. These are tens of millions who, though Russian, have lost their homeland. Formally, in the Russian Federation, I am a foreigner, a citizen of Latvia, and they want to keep this going. Right now, they are working to physically divide Russia, to destabilize Russian society from within. All those broadcasters, that whole agenda, this fascination with the West. I do not know. I have had my fill of the West in that sense. I worked a total of 7 years in Brussels, and I lived basically in Latvia, where Russia is absent and things are a little different. I was steeped in their values. I want to stay with my homeland as a Russian Orthodox person and raise my children in a normal Russian school, not those perversions they are pushing into schools and kindergartens, dressing up children, their nanny, encouraging them to undergo sex change operations. This second wave of outrages started under Biden. I do not want any of that. I want my homeland to be. Remember when the special military operation began? Biden said, that is it. Putin has pushed Russia back into the 19th century. And there was a map showing what Russia looked like in the 19th century. Let United States push Russia back to the 19th century. I fully support Biden on that. And the Baltic region, of course, did not even exist as such. There were Estland, Courland, or similar governorates. And part of Lithuania historically is Belarusian land. Basically, those are Belarusian lands too, our Slavic lands. Basically.
So there is no union state from sea to sea, right? As I recall, the Poles and the Finns really started to sweat when he said, let United States go back to the 19th century.
Yes, yes, yes.
Oh, no, no, no. That is not it.
Yes, Grandpa made a slip of the tongue.
Grandpa Biden, who waved at the air, Grandpa thinks he knows history. He is that same Grandpa who, when his brain still sort of worked, which it never really did, had a laugh. So, will Russia find allies in the Chinese and the Iranians? Well, I wish you good luck with that.
And now, yes, but now let them look at the United States of America, because the general state of the country feels like the Soviet Union before its collapse. Yes, yes. Crumbling infrastructure, ecological catastrophe, massive unemployment, hordes of drug addicts. I watch what happens on the streets of New York. And not just New York.
In every city.
How zoned out on drugs they are. Even young people. They have no prospects at all. What school? What university? They have no real chance to build a proper life. And to integrate into society. Because a lot of good could objectively be done in the United States of America. But the authorities are not thinking about that. The governors. They need to sell weapons and quickly enrich a narrow circle of people through the war, through the conflict with Ukraine. They need to ignite certain flashpoints so that World War III begins. They need to help the Israelis carry out a genocide of the Palestinian population This is what America is doing, has done, and unfortunately will do in the future.
Yes, you are absolutely right. It feeds them. It is money. It feeds money, of course. But for whom? For a narrow class? What about everyone else? Who is supposed to pay for it? Look at those new data centers they are building in some states. Not to mention how much power they use, the ones already built, the corporations are not paying for it. Did you know that? The people pay. No. Yes, the ones already built are sucking electricity off the grid, and the corporations were given exemptions from paying utility charges to get them built. Those huge costs are simply spread across the people and passed on to the public. They say in states like Tennessee, the average person pays about $250 more a year in electricity to cover these data centers. Yeah.
But why would the United States of America want to store information about everyone in the world? Why would they do that? Let United States think it through. To control people. To control people, to push all of United States, Russians, Iranians, people in Africa, everyone, into digital slavery.
First and foremost, their own people.
I mean, their own people too, of course, that is part of it.
No, I mean, first and foremost. You know, when I was supply director at Halliburton in Derezia, our security director used to come by. He was a former chief detective in the Houston Police Department for narcotics and various fraud schemes. He was the director of that department. He was later fired because he said that the top management at Halliburton should all take a lie detector test since they were so corrupt. They fired him for that. He overstepped. He dug in and uncovered not just his peers, but his own superiors. But he told me about it. We were sitting having a beer. He was telling me. This was back in 2014. His son worked for the National Security Agency, one of the 18 intelligence agencies now, one of the main ones. They were building a data center. Of course, the really powerful algorithms were not there yet. Artificial intelligence was still being developed, but they were building it. And his son worked in procurement, one of the key people. And at that time, again, this was 12 years ago, they were buying a separate server for every American citizen with about 1 terabyte of storage, 1 billion, 1 trillion bytes per person. Of course, no one could dig through that information then, but it was already being collected. Now there is artificial intelligence that can dig it up, figure out who you talk to, what you talk about, how often, and build the whole web. You see, all the main people you talk to, then the secondary ones, you follow one main contact, and the whole web opens up. And that is how the web is revealed. Who is connected to whom? If they need to grab one person, they might grab 100. They start compiling lists right away. Who communicates with whom and how? What, where, and who bought what? That is exactly what it is all built for. American citizens are first in line.
Digital slavery. Digital slavery.
This started back in 2012, 2013. So it is at that level. So it is nothing else. Now, the software is just catching up. It can chew through all that information and turn it into something useful for the authorities from the information that has been collected for more than a decade.
Yes, yes. But this will all end badly. And, by the way, the end of the world begins when artificial intelligence, when machines, when computers start totally controlling people. And everything we read in the Holy Scripture, this is the start of the apocalypse, when people kill one another, when there is total war, when there is hatred, when there is total surveillance through all kinds of devices, where all that data is stored indefinitely. What for? Why store it? So this is slavery of the modern 21st century.
This is not the end of the world. This is 1984. If you have not read it, I highly recommend Orwell and books like Brave New World, Animal Farm, Fahrenheit. All those books were not about the Soviet Union, but Animal Farm was about the Soviet Union, about the Soviet Revolution, and the other books were not about the Soviet Union. They were warnings to the fools in the English-speaking world. They warned that America would go this way, do not do it. But they made it many times worse.
Yes, but we should follow the path that Russia is taking. It is a sovereign path. It means relying on your own culture and history and embracing traditional values. That word has gotten a bit worn out. Well, that whole liberal crowd starts to mock it. You cannot really call them anything else. Indeed, traditional values are sound. Why is it that in Russia, even within its current borders, such a huge number of nationalities, languages, and religions can peacefully coexist? There are Buddhists, Muslims, of course Orthodox Christians. Historically, there are Catholics in certain areas, Yakut shamans, and pagan practices in general.
Yes, Slavic paganism exists too.
Yes, that shows Russia can become a home for everyone, and you will not disappear like Native Americans in North America. You will keep your language and culture and join this family of peoples. Right now, unfortunately, I am in Minsk, not in Moscow, which is a pity because I would like to be in Moscow these days. At the Exhibition of Achievements of National Economy, there was a Friendship of the Peoples festival with unique performances, from national costumes, dances, and songs to national cuisine. You could try delicious Chechen soup there. By the way, Belarusian brothers came. They are formally from an independent country now. But within the Union State, you cannot call Belarusians outsiders. They are ours, all of them. This is the unique recipe for how so many completely different people can live under one roof in Russia. That is why Russia is strong, and that is why the West is so upset. They constantly try to sow discord. They throw out scraps so people start fighting each other, driven by waves of nationalism. They, you know, bring in different peoples into Russia. I do not know. By the way, that is purely a British playbook.
Well, it is Soros and his people. They are very active in this.
So anyone who wants to preserve themselves should move to Russia or to the Republic of Belarus. It does not really matter which. In this case, and this will allow you to simply preserve your family, your children, and to wait for grandchildren, and to preserve your family line, because the family is a small church. We both know that.
Yes, yes, absolutely. Yes, you are absolutely right. That's how they all operate. And nothing will change now. We just need to understand it and fight it. And fight it more effectively. Not by waiting for 2012 to come back, because it will never return. You know, the boys and girls, the so-called oligarchs and officials, who all dream about that. No, boys, that will not come back. That's it.
No. It will not be like it used to be. A new world order is literally being established now. Either the world becomes multipolar, as China, India, and Russia say, led by big countries, or the world will return to total fascism. It will not just be unipolar. It will be under complete control, like those data centers we talked about. It will be not only an electronic prison, but an assault on basic human rights, a planet-wide madness. We will stop existing as people, as bearers of soul and intellect. At best, we will become biorobots. Many nations will simply vanish because they will not be able to develop. Languages will disappear. Cultures will disappear. Their uniqueness will disappear. Of course, they want Russia to disappear. And again, we think of Vladimir Vladimirovich Putin. Why would we want a world like that if it did not include Russia?
There is a third option. Either those madmen achieve world domination, or there is multipolarity, or there will simply be no peace.
Yes, there is no third option. Two absolutely clear positions.
Yes. So, let's end on a good note. Let's make sure there will be Russia, and then there will be peace in every sense of the word.
Russia's borders do not end anywhere.
And as Vladimir Vladimirovich said, wherever a Russian soldier sets foot, the Europeans are done for. Well, you know, I'm certain in my heart, because many Europeans who constantly shout and believe a Russian soldier is coming as an occupier actually want that occupation. They want someone to boss them around.
But we do not need that. But folks, an occupation has to be earned.
Right? And we do not want to spend our blood and our money on that. Peredin, that is your problem. You created it, you deal with it, and do not come to United States for help.
Yes, yes, let's take care of things ourselves. Because imagine how many modern challenges there are inside Russia, and how many resources are needed. Are we now going to spend all of that on the Baltic states, which in 30 years will again turn its back on Russia and, on British orders, carry out provocations? No, guys. Handle it yourselves.
No, no. No, why? Then you could turn the Baltic region into one province, call it the Baltic region, move in 3 million Russians or former Ukrainians, now considered Russians, plus Belarusians, and there would never be any uprising. If so, then do it in a way that it never happens again. What's so hard about moving 3 million people there? Not that many. We will rebuild everything, and we will be rebuilding it for ourselves forever. And the others can live there peacefully. Nobody is being kicked out. Always best.
Lenin's mistake in breaking up the empire and Gorbachev's 1991 mistake in dismantling the Soviet Union must never be repeated.
Never.
Never, because I clearly remember how we all fell for that idea back then. An independent state. This parade of sovereignties. That is pure British divide and rule. You can tell it instantly. How did we all miss that? Well, that was how things were back then. Gorbachev was, of course, the main traitor in that regard. Gorbachev, Yakovlev, they are the stooges of the American system and globalist circles.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely right. So on this topic, Latvians, Estonians, Lithuanians, take huge loans, spend, buy the very best. Revolution, part of Russia, we will rebuild it, but we will never let it go again. Yes, yes, you will live among a Russian majority. There will be a bright future. Yes. Okay, if I was not on the list yet, I will be after this.
So what about you, Stas? Were you planning to go to Riga soon?
No, unless by tank, then definitely not.
No, they tell me what you say there is a criminal matter. One fewer of me, one more. They fabricate criminal cases in the Baltic states, in Estonia, in Latvia. I do not know. For a sideways glance, for speaking Russian on a tram. What am I supposed to be afraid of? I live in free countries, Belarus, Russia. I can say what I see fit and not look back. Oh, maybe someone overheard. I truly see the future lying with Russia. The future is with Russia, not with those globalist elites who are over there. The North Atlantic Treaty Organization is expanding, building up military infrastructure. It will all collapse and vanish like smoke in an instant. Well, an instant.
And on that note, thanks to everyone who joined. Andrei will return, I am certain of that. And just as the whole Baltic states will return, Narva will certainly return to being Russian. It will return. Where else could it go? Goodbye, everyone. Thank you, Andrei. Goodbye.